finger. I was going to click the finger. What's happening, beautiful people? Kick that shit, Lee. Don't lower it. We talk over the fuck. This is Money by Pink Floyd. You got to be a fucking savage to lower that shit. Good morning. Money. Welcome to the church of what's happening now. Your host, Joey Coco Diaz. Your main man, Lee Syatt, the flying Jew. Over here listening to fucking Money, and he lowers it like... Hit it, Lee.
Money. It's a gas.
What? It's a fucking gas, Lee.
Make a stash.
Go, Lee. Come on, baby. A new cup caviar. What?
Maybe think about me. A football team.
What? When can I register? Oh, shit. Kick it, Lee. What's happening, beautiful?
I feel great, man.
It's a beautiful Wednesday morning, November 28th. It's a beautiful day to be alive, and the beauty is you can do whatever the fuck you want to do today, because it's that type of day. Sons of fucking anarchy last night. We got one more episode. I mean, this fucking year went fast on Sons of Anarchy, and what they do is they do like an hour and a half. They curse. They're talking about sucking dick on there and shooting people, but I think they lowered the season. I think there was like 11 episodes or something like that. But I tell you what, it took some great twists. You know, I watch Sons of Anarchy every week. I like it. And I was telling somebody in Arizona, when I was in Arizona last week, I go, look, let me be as honest as I can with you. I see a lot of holes in Sons of Anarchy. Like, there's a lot of little TV holes, but that's in every show.
Yeah, there's holes in every show.
But for the most part, it entertains me. I get entertained for an hour. I don't want to see nobody but a Modern Family. I want to see somebody get stabbed and shot and some hookers getting shot in the fucking leg. That's what's in my mind. That's a freak show in my mind. So that's what I want to fucking watch. And I'll tell you what, Jax Teller, he's a great character. He fucked up Clay Morrow last night. But Clay Morrow ain't out of it yet. That's why this fucking show, Clay Morrow's never out of it. Danny Trejo, who plays Machete, is great in this.
Is he in that full time?
Yeah, he's the cartel.
Holy shit.
The black guy, Damon Pope. And I didn't really think that he was going to give Tig in to Damon Pope, because that's a deal they made in prison when they killed Opie's character. But it's really gone from one extreme to another this year. And it's just sad that it's the last episode is December 4th. That's a big Cuban holiday, Chung Go's birthday and shit. So I got to be home Monday night early and light a candle at midnight for this fucking
What's
thing.
What's Chung Go?
Chango's like a big god in Cuba. They're very, you know, Cuba's as a Catholic country.
Uh-huh.
So they celebrate the gods. The whole fucking country's Cuban. They got a few Jews, you know, they show up in an envelope. Everything's all right. You know, a lot of people don't know a lot of little things about Cuba. You know, I always talk about the bond between the Irish and the Cuban, the Battle of the Boyne, 1680, when a lot of people went down to Cuba. A lot of Irish went down to Cuba. That's why there's so many Cuban Irish people.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But it's fucking weird. Like, the first big Chinatown was in Cuba till like 1950 something. You know, there was more Cadillacs in Cuba in 1957 than what there were in the United States. Did you know? That's a well-known fucking fact. 1957, 1958, there was more Cadillacs on that fucking island than what there were in the whole United States. That's an amazing fucking fact.
Why is that?
Like, because everybody was slinging dick gangster style, dog. You know, when you talk to a Cuban guy, an old school Cuban guy, all they know is Cadillac. They don't know Porsche or, you know, their dream was to come to the United States and get a Cadillac.
Okay.
That's what it was to be successful in Cuba. A fucking Cadillac. This is when Detroit meant something. A fucking Cadillac. When you came here in the 60s and you got the Cadillac, next time you're looking for a car or whatever, you got nothing to do, just look for a Cadillac, a 1968 Electra 225, and go look at it and touch the metal on this car. Look at the seats. Look at what luxury was and what success was in this country 30, 40 years ago. It was a fucking Cadillac, bro. There's a funny line in Scarface when they go, it's a Cadillac, when she won't get in the car. Do you remember? And
he goes, it's
a Cadillac. Like, she's supposed to fucking jump. That's part of the white generation. They want Porsches. But the old school motherfuckers, to them, success, life meant a Cadillac.
When did your parents come here? I don't think I ever asked you that.
They came over like in the fucking 50s, early 50s, late 40s. You know, my mother got into a beef over my aunt, Rosita. And some guy tried to rape her when she was 15 or 16. So the story on the street is my mother stabbed him. They got her out of the country, and then she came back years later under a different name. And when she got back into the States, it wasn't like 9/11. That name stayed.
Jesus.
So that was her alias. Her alias was Sophia Cecilia, who was her, in reality, was her bookmaking partner's mother, Puerto Rican woman that used to come over every Saturday and iron at our house.
Oh.
That's why I'm naming my daughter Sophia.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sophia. Mercy's her middle name, which is something to do with Terry's family, but it's funny because Mercedes is a big god in Cuba also, so I wanted a name of that, and without even knowing, my wife named her that. So it's really fucking interesting. Yeah, so they have a huge Chinatown in Cuba. You know, Columbus said that Cuba was the pearl of the fucking of the West, whatever the fuck he called it.
Pearl something.
Of the whatever. It's a beautiful place at that time. You know, they have a big Jewish population. You know, if you go to Miami, that just didn't start right there. The Cuban, that's been going on for years. The Jewish know the Cubans are good people, and that's been going on for years. So, but anyway, they got no fucking Cubans on Sons of Anarchy. I got to get on there next year. But the fucking beauty of it, it has taken some great turns this year. And if you don't watch the show, watch the fucking show. And the good thing about Sons of Anarchy is they don't hire fucking pussies. You know, like this year they had some guy that killed a lady and tore a cat apart with his hands. He's the one. And, you know, Sons of Anarchy always hire some weird things. But they don't hire like this fucking, this little Christian kid from fucking Two and a Half Men. Which, listen, let me tell you something. Let me be as honest as I can with you. I never watched the show.
Me either.
And when they made a big stink about it, I put it on. And I could not believe how dirty the show was.
Is it really?
Yeah, for an 8 o'clock show, there's a lot of sexual innuendos. And I'm thinking to myself, look at all these fucking hypocrites. You know, look at all these fucking hypocrites that, you know, will come to my show and say the show's dirty. This is an 8 o'clock show. And ladies and gentlemen, this is what pisses me the fuck off. Like when people say, I got offended at your show, that's great. You're a fucking pussy. But let me tell you what offends me. When I'm watching 8 o'clock TV, and let's pretend my niece is here, and she's 11, and I gotta explain what the fuck they're talking about. That insults the shit out of me when I watch a condom commercial at 7:15. You ever see that
really
commercial?
Really, that upsets you?
Oh my god! Because I'm thinking that there's a bunch of 11-year-olds that don't know what the fuck's going on, and now you just raised awareness on something. And if they're 11, they could be 8, they could be 7, just like I was.
Yeah, I thought that show was like a laugh track. Stupid comedy. I didn't know there was...
You know, and I like Charlie Sheen, don't get me wrong, and I never watched it with Ashton Kutcher, but I will tell you that when I watch it with Charlie Sheen, I mean, he slings dick on the show. That's what his show. I don't know what the other guy is. The other guy's a gay guy trying to be straight. I don't know what the fuck he's trying to be, but I know the show isn't like, you know, Family Affair, like the shit I grew up on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little on the edge. It's right there on the cutting edge. But this kid's been on the show since day one, so he's got to be a multimillionaire off this fucking show already, correct?
Or yeah, they're correct? Saying, I mean, I know it goes up every year, but right as of right now, he's making $365,000
a
week.
$360,000 a week, you get on that show, you shut your fucking mouth. And if the half gay guy asks you to suck his dick, you suck it out of principle for $360,000 fucking, okay?
Yeah, he's 19.
19. He went on, he's hanging out with these fucking Christians, a little black guy, another guy that's fucking confused. He's another fucking yam that probably rides a skateboard with tight pants and he forgets he's fucking black. If you're gonna be black, be beautiful. Like my man fucking, what's his name? Leroy Neckbone. He's fucking black, but he's beautiful and he's fucking proud. You don't give a fuck if you're gonna be black, and but they sit there behind, oh well, I'm a Christian. You're fucking black, cocksucker. Cut it out, all right? You're fucking black. Get your shit together. And you got this little fag with the glasses on talking about how the show is doing. That's backbiting. I've never lied. I would have fired his ass right off the fucking spot and replaced him with a little half a Chinese kid or something that got hit in the head with a fucking hammer like this fucking Momo did. You know, you're paying him all that money. You want us to talk about that shit? Say it later. But people don't know how hard it is to be on TV. Like, as an actor point of view, it is what it is. You're looking for a fucking job. But as a comic point of view, like, people don't really know what happened with, what's his name? The guy that was on Comedy Central. You know, the guy that had the show that they gave him $50 million, Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
You're supposed to know this shit, Lee. This is your fucking life.
I didn't know
if
you're talking about Tosh or who you're
talking
about.
Yeah, Tosh. I'm talking about Dave fucking Chappelle. Rather, by the way, Joe Rogan gave me a shout out on Daniel Tosh. I woke up this morning, I had 1,000 things on Twitter, Facebook, people taped it for me. What the fuck, people? Get your shit together. But, you know, what were we talking about? The little fucking Chappelle, half a fag. Yeah. Chappelle, you know, when you're a stand-up comedy, and I talked to Tim Allen about this once. I had an open for him in Vegas. And when you're a stand-up comic, you know, you do all these different fucking things. And you write and whatever. And sometimes you might have a line. I might come over to you and go, Lee, don't say that line. Say this line. And all of a sudden it works. And you're like, Joey, that was fucking great. Thank you. We've been doing this for a long time.
Okay.
And what happens is this. We have respect for people. But I don't have respect for a 22-year-old college student that just got out of Syracuse and walks over to me and tells me not to say that line.
Yeah,
I've been doing comedy for 20 fucking years, okay? And I don't know a lot about anything, but I also watch The Honeymooners. And I also grew up on The Odd Couple, and I grew up on The Twilight Zone, I grew up on Benny Hill. That's as good as it gets on American television. I also grew up on All in the Family, and I also grew up on Sanford and Son. I also grew up on Chico and the Man, and I also had Bonanza in there. So for you motherfuckers who think I'm just talking out of fucking line here, I've been watching phenomenal sitcoms, especially The Honeymooners. Fucking especially. Three writers wrote that, and Jackie Gleason. Jackie Gleason hate the fucking rehearse. Watch The Honeymooners. Watch those episodes when he has to take the train to the raccoon convention and he handcuffs himself to Norton. You know, that's genuine fucking comedy there. I watch these TV shows today and I giggle a little bit. They're interesting. They don't take me to where I need to be. I mean, I don't know what the fuck happened to Dexter. I love fucking Dexter the first two seasons. I don't even, my wife asked me if they would. They can't. Is this the last season of Dexter? I hope so. The sister knows he's a fucking murderer. You know, but, these kids come up to you and tell you what lines to say and what to do, and it really eats away at people. When you're on a TV set sometimes, you get fucking aggravated. Like, I was fucking aggravated when I shot the last TV show. I'm not going to tell you what it was, because the director kept blasting Bruce Springsteen, Born to Be Fucking Wild, whatever. I wanted to shoot myself in the fucking head, and I even went to one of the ADs and said, what the fuck is this shit with this Bruce Springsteen shit? Sorry about that. Anyway, I want to give a shout out to my sponsors. This show, as usual, is always brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit, take a look at their products, especially this fucking protein. It's almost empty. The Hemp Force with 16 grams of protein and 11 grams of fucking... but on top of that, it tastes phenomenal. It's like drinking a fucking shake at In-N-Out Burger or something. And this, I started going to kickboxing class, and this fucking Strongbone, see, it's got a combination that everybody else has. You go buy it a fucking cheaper tryptophan, lysicaline and gluscamine, whatever. You could go buy it fucking cheaper somewhere else. I bet you can, but not the stuff that comes in here, not the stuff that he's adding here. Go to Strongbone, go to Onnit.com, order Strongbone, order Shroom Tech Sport, and get your fucking workout on, because December 31st is coming on. Don't wait till then. Start fucking now. So January 1st, you're at the gym doing jumping jacks, and all the other fat fucks are coming in looking at you for guidance. You follow what I'm saying to you? Start your little workout today. Go to Omnit. They got mix and match packages. You could buy Strongbone. You could buy Hemp Protein and Hemp Force. And you could also buy a Shroom Tech Sport just to get the party started and throw new mood in there. So when you wake up in the morning, you're in a good mood, like Uncle Joey. Like right now, I'm fucking ready to go. Even Lee said to me, he goes, dog, what time did you wake up? I got home from the Laugh Factory. I ate a fucking piece of apple. That's why my shit was so smelly this morning. I ate like two fucking apples and a pear. And then I hit the crib about 10:30, but Gray was in the bed and I couldn't fall asleep. Gray was in bed with me all last night with me and my wife. Gray's the last cat I adopted about a year and a half ago that I love. She never mingles in that room at all. She never mingles at all. She sits on the chair. She comes in here and breaks my balls. I give her a treat. I pick her up. I tell her I love her. Last night, she slept next to me the whole fucking night. Every time I moved, she was next to me. I had to be aware of her. She was cupped in between my fucking legs. And it's weird. I was in the bathroom this morning when I got out of the shower when Lee comes over. And before Lee comes in the office, he plays with the fucking cats for like 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah, it's getting longer. They're like 10 minutes today.
You
it's
love them, Lee. Yeah. And Lee, explain to the people how cool these motherfuckers are.
They're crazy. I'm honestly, I was never a cat person. I used to be really allergic. Like when I first started coming over here, I couldn't be here for that long. And it started out with Fidel because he's out all the time. Because people joke about it, but you really do have a lot of cats. And at first, like, Fidel and Finny will be out, but now all the cats like me, and especially Harry. Harry's my guy, so he has a cat posts in the living room, and as soon as I come in, they all start meowing at me. But it's crazy. They're there. They're there because they're up now, but were they really there? Because they're guarding your wife, and it's a crazy thing to see. It's wherever your wife is, they follow her.
Oh, my God. It's fuck. They won't even come in here. The boys love my wife. What's happening, honey? How you feeling? Say hello here to the people is. At home. Show them your belly and shit. Come here. Say hello. We're talking about the cats. Look at my
You're
wife's fucking...
You're talking about me. I heard you.
I know. Look at her fucking belly, guys. This is the real deal right here. Holy shit. This is a couple weeks away and stuff here, huh? I'll be fucking dead in a couple weeks.
Oh, they can see it. They can't see your face, though.
That's perfect. Her belly right there. Ah! Now, I love my wife, but she's not dolled up this morning. She got a little... fucking Jerry Garcia t-shirt and the titties out. That's That's the belly right there. All right, honey, you're dismissed. You want to say anything for the people of the church? What's happening now?
Get a life or listen to my husband.
I know. I'm a fucking idiot.
It's 5 in the morning.
It's 5 in the morning. I'm over here talking shit. Thank you. Thank you. And that's right. And I grew up on another show that was classic also called Get Smart. Thank you, my man, J.P. Gomez, always dropping knowledge. Get
this
Smart
was preview, a bad. This is a preview to the Diaz reality show.
You would love all this shit, wouldn't you? Me and with my wife calling me names in front of fucking people and insulting me and shit like that.
Why are you listening to my husband?
I know. So, anyway, go to onnit.com. When you order this stuff on the way out, press church in so they know that I'm doing my fucking job. And we continue doing this podcast because this supports fucking Lee and... You know, this will all help us out. You know I love you guys. The holidays are coming. We got a couple more fucking days for the holidays. It's amazing, but the end of the world. Did you see Rogan last night? He was with Stanhope last night, I guess, on Daniel Tosh doing a sketch of the Man Show or something like that. And then on the way out, he said, we're doing a show December 21st. That's still going on at the Will Burn fucking theater. I will not be in Austin this week. I am headed to New York this afternoon after my audition until fucking Saturday or Sunday or Monday. So we will be doing the next podcast next Monday morning. I will not forget about you motherfuckers. Then straight on, then Lee's going to Boston, so we're going to be doing a couple of them. Lee's going to teach me how to just set this up. We're not even going to tape. I'm just going to go on here in the mornings and talk to you motherfuckers. I'm not even going to tape nothing. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. You know what I'm saying?
We'll figure it out.
Let me give some shout outs to some beautiful fucking people here, some friends of the podcast today. You got my man, Greg. I don't even know how to. Greg Gandry or some shit. Nick Magneto. Louis B.A. Gary O'Donnell. Colin O'Rafferty. Mr. Barraza Van Haben. I love this motherfucker. He's been around for a while. Mark Haya, Donnie Hastings, MJ Rivera. Happy birthday, cocksucker. And Shock Monkey. Shock the Monkey, bitches. You bad motherfuckers. I love you, too. Tim Donahue is going to be calling here. The ref that went nomad and started betting games. And then the mob. And then he did some time. He's going to call back with his book, Personal Foul. We're going to talk about that. And I want to talk about something else that people have been bugging me about because I never talk. Listen, guys, I don't like talking about this shit, but if you guys bug me about it, then I'll talk to you about it. The GoDaddy commercial, everybody's hitting me on. Thank God they're hitting it up in Canada so you guys can see it. Don't ask me. I got a call to do a pizza fucking commercial. They're going for a pizza thing. I went in there. It was the Allstate one. Uh-huh. There's an Allstate pizza commercial that's running.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Two guys, and they're in there, and they try to be cute. The one guy was in The Sopranos. Okay. I went in to read for that, like, on a Monday. I never thought about it again. That Wednesday, I got another call, and they said, hey, you're going in for GoDaddy.com as a pizza man. When I went down, the guy walked over to me. He goes, Joey, don't be New York in this. They want a regular pizza guy. Don't be fucking New York-y. So I walked in there like Johnny Whitebread. I walked in there, and I fucking read, and that was it. They didn't even respond to me.
They didn't laugh at me?
Nothing. They just looked at me like I fought it. So, no worries. I don't get mad at fucking nobody. I leave, and I get a call back. They say, you're going back for the pizza commercial. But I thought it was definitely the Allstate one. When I looked at the computer on the thing, it was GoDaddy. So I go, wow. GoDaddy wanted me. They didn't want a New York. That's why you never know nothing, Lee. That's why when I would talk to you about this shit, you never know nothing. GoDaddy wants. So I get down and the guy's like, come here again. He goes, I guess they wanted a New Yorkie, but just tighten your shit. They don't want it too New Yorkie or too Soprano-ish or too whatever. So I go in there. I don't know what to do. And I realize the guy is English. The director's English. If they're English, we're in because they like it loud and obnoxious and rambunctious and me calling them a bloody fucking cunt. You know, they don't give a fuck. That's why I love the fucking English because they don't give a fuck. That's why you're supposed to talk. That's fucking English, okay? You go to English, they call you a bloody fucking cunt, okay?
Oh, Jesus.
So I go in and the guy is laughing, the director, which I knew he would, and he's yelling these things for me to say, get the fuck out of here and all this shit. I'm like, wow. And I got in the car.
Yeah.
And I called Ari, my other Jewish advisor. He's on his way to Minneapolis. If you're in Minneapolis this week, anywhere in the area, Wisconsin, whatever the fuck you live up there, go see my man Ari Shafir. He's at the Mall of America at the house of Rick Bronson's House of Comedy. Go see him. So I call Ari and I go, Ari, I don't know nothing about nothing, but I just booked this fucking commercial. Because you know, There's times you go in for a commercial, they're completely different than a theatrical audition. The times you go in for a commercial, and they don't say nothing to you. And you leave there, and you get the call the next day. You book the commercial, and you're like, oh my God, are they fucking retarded? And then there's times you go in there and kill, and you walk out of there and go, I got this commercial. And you don't even get a fuck, you don't even get put on hold. And you're like, what the fuck? And usually when they put people on hold, you're in the top three. There's three choices, and then they make a... That's hold, and they'll say your second choice or whatever. So I just fucking knew. And the next day, him and I were going somewhere. Ari and I, or me and somebody, Joe Rogan, we were flying somewhere. So what I did the next day was I, on the plane, I told him, my agent that day.
Was that Chicago?
We were somewhere. I called my agent. I go, hey, I'm fucking leaving tomorrow, but they're going to call you. And I guess he hears this from everybody. The next day when I got off the fucking, as soon as the plane lands, I got Sprint, bitch. Those motherfucking messages were popping up. And I looked at it, and it was him going, where are you? We need to confirm this fucking commercial. And I went to Pasadena. In fact, I put the thing on because somebody sent me a video last night of the making of it.
Behind the scenes, I watched behind that. Behind the scenes.
So somebody sent me that last night. So I put it up. And you know, guys, listen, when I first got here, a lot of people don't know. Remember the Taco Bell commercial with the dogs?
Yeah.
I did the first one here. And you don't even see me in the fucking commercial. I made a ton of loot on it. It was the first payday I had in 10 fucking years since I got divorced. So it all went up my nose, and the other half went to the fucking attorneys. Coke Zero, bitches. I don't even like drinking this in the morning, but I needed something to bring in here. I had grape juice and water. I already had a big glass of water that sits in my stomach.
Yeah, it feels weird.
Yeah, I don't like water in the morning that early like that.
I've been on just water, so I'm used to it now, but I know what you mean.
Just water? Look at you, you fucking savage.
I'm fucking exhausted, but it's helping. I'm trying.
What were you saying?
I was just going to say, anyways, about the commercial.
Yeah, people don't hear about water. So I fucking went up there in Pasadena. And I shot, and I didn't even know. I've seen the Danica Patrick ones at GoDaddy, and I didn't know that. And they really hired me, if you really think about it, because how fucking ugly I am. And they didn't hire me because I'm no great actor, or because I'm no fucking Stanislavski. The commercial wasn't even funny. I couldn't even get my shit off.
It was funny, and I noticed in the other commercial, you probably weren't there with her, but that girl from that Cedric the Entertainer pilot, who was in the Matt Flair role, she did another one.
Yeah, yeah.
But no. My favorite part of that commercial with you is at the end, and you obviously haven't cooked a pizza, but I know you're not supposed to squeeze the dough, and the last shot is you just squeezing the, like, just smushing the dough at the end.
Oh, it's like an ass. They told me to squish it like that.
And it kills me every time.
And you know what's crazy? The pizza at that place wasn't bad. The cheese was delicious. It was that healthy fucking...
Was it actually like hot pizza?
Yeah, it was hot pizza. It was like mozzarella cheese from New York. Old school. That whole milk mozzarella. A lot of places don't have that. And I know when I taste it. I know exactly when I taste it what it should taste like. And I'll tell you, I got there and I was stoned to the fucking gills. You know, at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I was fucking starving. You know, I must have had a bowl of oatmeal here and an apple. That shit don't hold. When you're on a set, anything fucking goes. When I'm on a set, I fucking eat like a savage. I don't give a fuck. I take the coffee. I steal the tampons. I take the Tums. I fucking clean them out. I don't give a fuck. But what was he talking about? Oh, yeah. I got up there, and I started eating a pizza lead. Right? I started eating the cheese and globs off the pizza because they had 20 pies. I didn't give a fuck.
Okay.
That's why when it was eating the cheese, by that point, I was just spitting it out.
Okay.
I had eaten 20 pounds of fucking cheese. It took me 4 days to shit after I shot that fucking commercial. It was like taking a Vicodin. I was constipated for a fucking week from that thing. But we shot it, and I'm very fortunate. And you know what, guys? Let me tell you something. I go into those things. I go in, like, people always, oh, we seen your commercial. You lucky fuck. Listen, if you had any idea how many auditions I do go in for commercials, you'd say, Joey, you're a fucking loser, guy. You know, you go in for 20 commercials, you only book one. You know, man, it's so slow these days that they sent out so many fucking people that when you go to a commercial audition, now it used to be 20, now there's 80.
Wow.
When you go to a callback, it used to be 6 or 7, now there's 20. So it's very hard. And what they do on the big commercials, like Budweiser and stuff, that towards the end, even if you're not that person, they call you in. Like, if you book a lot of commercials, you notice that there's people that book a lot of commercials.
I've seen a bunch of them, yeah.
They just there's the one right now that the machine gets stuck. Have you seen that one? The camera gets stuck with a kid and his wife, and they have a boy. Have you seen
that? For what product?
I have no fucking idea. Oh, for some cable thing. The cable keeps getting stuck. She comes out of the shower, and it's stuck. That kid is a comic. he's running just five of those.
Yeah, I've seen.
You know, I've seen five or six of those, and he's like in three other ones. I was never a fucking. I don't have a social life face, as they say. You know what I mean? So they won't put me around. What the fuck is a social light, Lee?
Like a white, like
whore.
A
whore. Like a white whore. That's what a social light is, right? Yeah. They go to parties and they throw parties.
Like Paris Hilton.
And they mingle and shit like that. I never fucking knew what that was. They keep talking about that for Petraeus. You know, the Petraeus, the fucking colonel who cheated.
Oh, Petraeus, yeah.
Petraeus, whatever his fucking name is. The chick. I used to date the stripper. Yeah. Carol, and she used to say that when she lived in Michigan, she was sort of a socialite. In the back of my mind, I just thought it meant whore.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mean to insult Carol. I love Carol like that. She's a dear friend, but that's what I thought
it basically
meant.
Does.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's socialite. Who gives a fuck? So you just go to parties? That's right, baby. Van Heber, he's a good fucking dude.
That's
I
what
love
Kardashian
him. I love
is.
Him. He's
yeah.
a fucking, you're a good man, dog. You always send love and positive energy. That's all. I'm loving Twitter now. I'm fucking loving my Twitter and my Facebook because we got all the fucking mooks out of the way. We got a big fucking Death Squad family. We got Death Squad Connecticut, Death Squad Kentucky, Death Squad fucking Brazil. We got Death Squad Cuba. We got three Cubans down there playing the bongos, yelling Death Squad, da 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 da, Death Squad, da 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 da, Death Squad. What time is it here, Lee? Lee, oh, what we were talking about was I was telling Lee Leland that I got these, you know, I haven't been smoking heavy duties lately. What I do is I smoke the fucking vapor pen. Where's my vapor pen? I forgot to hit it for you guys today. I'm sorry. Ooh. Lee, lick my big balls. Suck my duck. Anyway.
Sing that song every day when I come in. It's different every time.
Lee, I got to sing you a fucking song. You know what I'm saying? We got to go. Chill made a song about me with the Joey Diaz. Chill's got to make a song about you now. The flying fucking Jew. I love Chili. He's over there in Chicago smoking reef with Puerto Ricans. So anyway, we got the vapor pen. I got the headband in here, and I got some fucking Louis the 16th. I got to go over to NOC. NO, where do I get this? NO Organic. NoHo Organic. They're my boys. But Divine Wellness is the fucking king of edibles. I know, Lee. I'm getting fucked up in the early in the morning.
Who are you looking at over there?
Huh?
You looked at, like, the wall.
What am I going to do? Remember the time I got high here with my wife and I saluted Clint Eastwood? Things happen. So every once in a while I go over and I get the where the fuck is the card? Anti Dolores treats. Like they have the mint chocolate chip. Like today, I got an audition at 10 after 3. I got to go to kickboxing. And I got a spot at the Haha maybe later tonight, right? Or Flappers. I'm just going to go work some shit out for the weekend, right?
Yeah.
But I got to fly out. What the fuck am I talking about? I got to fly out. So instead of eating a big cookie, because I'm looking at calories again now, it's the holidays. These are these fucking hash caps. They have like hash oil in them. I tell you about this
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, you told me.
It's 100 milligrams a piece. And I'm going to open up the day with two just to show you motherfuckers how we do it here. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Look at these motherfuckers. Look.
One of these weekends, we have to do one where you take that at the beginning, and like we just come back like 4 hours later. Just like,
and I get fucked up and giggly. That's when people call me, and I get fucked up and giggly. We got a great album for you today. After the call, I'm just waiting on Tim Donahue to call. But I'm happy we got to talk about the commercial.
Yeah.
What else we got to talk about today? Because a lot of people don't know that I do it all. I don't fuck around, guys, okay? Some weeks I fucking want to do a commercial. I did a TV show last week, Partners. Sometimes I do Kimmel. It's not what I wanted to do, but it helps my insurance. And for you people like, Joey, you're a sellout. No, I do everything. What do you think? If Richard Pryor didn't have all this TV, he would do it today, too. All these guys would go, I don't want to sell out. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to fucking feed my... I got mouths to feed. You know what I'm saying? I got mouths to feed, like fucking De Niro in The Raging Bull.
Well, when you brought it up, I was going to ask you about it. That Petraeus thing doesn't... I don't understand why it bothers people. I mean, he cheated on somebody. I mean, I guess, like, if he was giving away state secrets... Oh, we'll have to finish this later. We got Tim Donahue on the line.
Uncle Tim, what's happening, brother?
Hey, pal. How you doing?
You know me, trying to put the pieces together. Thank you very much for calling. You know, my the people from the church of What's Happening Now, they've listened to your partner, Danny... B for a long time. He's a dear friend of mine. We grew up together in Jersey, and he told us a little about you and that you were going into business. What's going on in your world, my man?
Not too much. Just you know, hanging out with Danny B, trying to put some winning picks out there, and you know, trying to put some money in our pockets.
You're beautiful. Now, where are you from originally? He said Pennsylvania, outside of Philly.
Yeah, I grew up in Havertown and then moved out to Westchester and then moved down here to Sarasota, Florida.
Holy shit, and you're also in, you also went to Villanova.
Yep, went to Villanova and got a liberal arts degree and started refereeing basketball games and made it all the way up to the NBA.
You're a bad motherfucker. Now, were you down there with Raleigh Massimino?
Yes, I was.
No, you weren't.
I was there.
No, you fucking weren't. Come on. That's amazing, my friend.
He won the national championship, and then the next year, that's when I went to Villanova.
Wow. Who won that national championship? Let's see if your memory's still good. Who was on that team? Because I can't fucking remember. It wasn't Jack the Goose Givens, was it?
It was Ed Pickney. It was Dwayne and Gary McLean.
Yes, okay.
Harold Jensen. Remember he hit those short little jumpers?
Yes.
He got like 6 for 6 in the game. Those are the guys that I can remember.
Wow. That's and what level did you get into refereeing at? What level? At high school or college, or where do you start when you want to?
I started, refereeing, young little kids' games and just worked my way up. My dad was a college basketball referee, so that kind of helped with my name. And from there, I just kind of moved up quickly, went to a couple camps, got seen by the right people, and, next thing I know, I was, out in California being scouted by the NBA.
That is fucking amazing. And how long after they scouted you did they pick you up?
4 years.
And then they retrain you?
Yeah, then they retrain you to their style of what they want called and what they don't want called. And, the NBA, do's and don'ts of, star treatment, basically.
Wow. Now, I have not read your book, but this afternoon I will go to the mall and get it because I love reading, especially about all that type of stuff and what went down with you. So basically, what went down? How long were you in refereeing before you started gambling? If you don't mind me asking. If there's anything off limits here, just let me know, brother. I love you to death.
You can ask me whatever you want, pal. Nothing's off limits. I refereed for 13 years, gambled for, on NBA and NFL and college and everything under the sun for about my last 3 or 4 years in the NBA. So it was just, it became a situation where I just loved the action and, whether it was on the golf course or playing cards in the back room, rolling dice or betting on sporting events. I just was, in a situation where I loved the action and I did it.
And once you started betting the NBA, how long did it take before? I mean, when you first started betting it, you knew you were doing something wrong or you weren't doing something wrong. Fill me in. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely was doing something wrong. What I was doing was I was using relationships that existed within the NBA, both positive and negative, of the referees and the players and the coaches and the owners, knowing that some teams were put at an advantage or a disadvantage. And, I was telling a buddy of mine who, could play some action on some games, who to bet. And, we were hitting it about 75% correct.
Wow. And that's how it started.
That's how it started. Well, it started, betting football, betting college basketball, betting college football. And then, I just slowly, got full of myself. And we just started crossing a line that I shouldn't have been near with, my job that I had with the family that I needed to support. And, basically I just screwed up and crossed that line and, started to bet on NBA games because it was so easy. I knew I'd be at lunch with somebody and they'd be telling me how they're going to stick it up, Kobe Bryant's ass tonight, or how, they had a bad game the last time they had LeBron James, so they got to take care of him a little bit tonight, So there was some stuff that was going on behind the scenes that put one team or another at an advantage.
That's fucking amazing, man. I gambled. I come from that area, and I gambled early on. It was one of those things, Tim, that I knew I liked. But I tell you what I hated doing was paying, because I'd have to go out.
Yeah, me too, pal.
Oh, I fucking hated paying because I'd have to go out and rob for the fucking money. And, between me and you, who the fuck am I kidding? I lost every week, Tim. So every week I'd have to go mug somebody or rob a drug dealer's house. And then it was 83, or the year when the Redskins played the Dolphins in the Super Bowl. And my roommate was up 30,000. We were 18, Tim. 18. Just got out of high school.
Right.
And he was up. His name was Fernie. He was up 30,000 going into that game. And he ended up losing 40, plus he sat on 20. And I ended up losing like 1,000. And the guys came to the house, and I had to give them money for every week for a couple of weeks. And I remember going, you know what? If I'm going to pay money, I'm going to snort coke. If I'm going to spend this money, I'm either going to snort coke and jerk off and look out a window and at least get something out of it than just give it. And that's why I quit gambling. I swear to God, Tim, I hated fucking paying. I fucking hated it. Right. I couldn't even imagine. Like, I'll pay anything for I'm not cheap. I don't give a fuck. But I wanted something for my money. So I know how fast you got caught in it. And after you started winning, what happened? They approached you, the guys with the suits on, or what happened?
Now, what happened was, is, you know, like you said, I got, you know, the guilt feeling, you know, like I shouldn't be doing this. You know, we got to stop. We were winning so much. And I kept going to the guy that was placing the bets for us. We're going to stop. So finally, we stop. It's over. I'm in Philadelphia one night. And what I didn't know was the guy I was giving the picks to was relaying them to people that were associated with organized crime. They were banging, making hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. So what happens is I'm now in Philadelphia after we stop, and like one buddy from high school calls me up and says, I'm going to take you out to dinner. I said, all right, come on down. So he drives down, and there's this guy that is associated with the Gambino crime family who tells me he's been getting my picks for 2 years. They've been killing it, and, you know, the picks are going to come through him now. I said, what are you talking about? He says, you know what I'm talking about. You don't want somebody visiting your wife and kids in Florida, do you? Or do you want us to go to the NBA and tell them what you've been doing? So they had me. So I had to relay the picks through my high school buddy to this guy, and he started, you know, making a fortune, but he was running his fucking mouth so much, he got caught over a Gambino wiretap, and that's how the investigation started.
Holy shit. So when did they nail you?
Yeah, so
they showed up at your house? Did they show up to the NBA first?
No. No, what happened was is they... The high school buddy who, you know, brought this guy down to me calls me one day, and he says the FBI's been to his house 4 or 5 times. And I knew I was fucked. I knew this guy was going to, you know, eventually tell them everything. And there was, you know, rumors that the story was spreading anyway. So I went to an attorney who contacted the United States attorney, and he said, you tell Tim Dunaghy, we know what he did. It's just a matter of time before we come get him. We're putting the puzzle pieces together. He's better off coming to us before we come to him, because if we have to come get him, he's going to jail for a long, long time, along with losing his job. But if he comes to us, he's just going to lose his job. Well, that didn't happen. They still put me in jail. I ended up going to them and telling them everything, and I still went to jail.
How long did you do? How much time did you do?
I did about 13 months.
Jesus Christ. And they put you in a federal place.
They put me in, yeah, federal place. And, you know, I did 2 months in like a maximum security county jail.
And then
they violated me from the halfway house for going to a health club.
Really?
And threw me in solitary confinement in the county jail. It was awful.
Holy shit. That's amazing. Yeah, they violate you for anything. They violated me a couple times. They will fucking violate your ass. So you've been...
Oh, you want to know how... The lady that ran the halfway house, the first day I get there, she pulls me in her office and starts reading me the riot act because the media is out front, people are taking pictures. And she actually walked by me with 2 bags of McDonald's. She was about 250 pounds. And the guy that I knew from the prison that I was out says, who's leaving the halfway house in like 2 days, God, do you think she needs that McDonald's? And I turned around and looked at her with a like and laughed a little bit, and she said, you think he's funny? And right then and there, I get off on the wrong foot with her, and you know, a month later, I was violated.
Wow. Yeah, they'll fucking violate you for anything. So you've you got out, you're free on probation now. Are you still on probation?
I just got off probation
a
couple weeks ago, and, you know, working with, you know, Danny at DannyBWins.com and putting out some winners and just trying to grow his business bigger and stronger than ever.
You know, I've known Danny for, I got to say, 30 years. I've known him since we grew up pretty much together. And the reason why I'm friends with him and I'm so lucky is because I still have him in my life. I mean, I don't see him every fucking year or nothing. But just the fact of us talking, you know, you're in with a fucking really good guy. And he's crazy. Tim, he's fucking crazy like I am. But his heart's in the right place. You know, Lee knows the flying
but we're all crazy, but he's a winner, man.
He's a winner. And he really
glad
is.
To be, you know,
and I'm happy that you're over there. Wagon. And I'm happy that you know, my whole, I've been doing this podcast thing for 2 years. I did Beauty and the Beast with Felicia, and I'm doing this one with Lee called The Church of What's Happening Now. And what this show is basically about is what happened to me, second chances. So as far as I'm concerned, brother, you got my heart. I'm happy that you paid your debt to society. You fucked up, and you're out there again. And now you got to do whatever you got to do to feed the fucking family. And I'm really proud of you for that. You did your time. And you came on. It's like a hitch in the army, ain't it?
Yeah. It's you know, no doubt, man. It's tough, you know. Like you said, I got to provide for the family, and this is you know, a great way to do it. You know, Danny's been doing great, knocking him dead, and I'm fortunate that he's putting me you know, on his ship that's sailing pretty good.
What's your relationship now with the NBA? Are they talking to you? Do you get a piece of your pension? I mean, what's going on now?
Well, the funny thing is, you know, the NBA has my pension, and I owe them restitution in the amount of $200,000 for, you know, what their fee was to do the investigation after all this went down. So, you know, right now it's, you know, everything's kind of on hold until this restitution gets paid off. But, you know, little by little, I'm chipping away at it, and, you know, at some point it's going to be behind me.
All right, man. You got a book out there.
I do. I got a book out there called Personal Foul, and okay. It's you know, on Amazon.com. It's the best spot to get it, and it definitely shows you what I did and how I did it, and the blueprint for how I continue to pick winners today with Danny.
Now let me ask you this, and you know we gotta ask you this, because do you miss it? Do you miss fucking getting on
Hell
planes
yeah.
and fucking making the calls
come on.
And having a steak at Morton's and getting your dick sucked and doing blow? It's a great fucking life. You know what I'm saying? It really is. I just read a...
It's a rock star life, man. You're out on the road. You're visiting different cities. You're, you know, running up and down the court with the greatest athletes in the world. Yeah, certainly I miss it. I mean, if I could turn back time, I certainly would. But, you know, it's in the past right now, and you know, I'm moving forward, and like I said, Danny B's a winner, and things are going great with him right now, and I'm hoping that things continue.
You know, I am in fucking shock that I'm on the phone with an NBA ref, and how you did it. I mean, it's not like you know. I mean, you did it from scratch, and that's the most important thing. And whatever happened, fuck it, you blew it. You did it your way, like Sinatra, and you got no motherfucking regrets, and that's the way to live your life, brother. Fuck it, you know, it was a part of your life, you paid your time, it's not like you're still doing it or whatever, you still got the itch to gamble. Like I said, you know, Tim, if I had fucking balls, I'd still be putting in 100 timers every night. That's what it is to have balls and throwing TVs out the window. Eventually, you just get sick and fucking tired of it, you know, you go, fuck this, I can't do this no more. So it all came to an end, and in a way, I bet you were happy at the end, it was a relief, you know.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, certainly, you know, there was a lot of pressure back then, and it's gone now. And, you know, like I said, you know, I'm moving forward, having a good positive attitude, you know, things are going to turn back around. They already started to, so it's going to work out.
Who do you like tonight? Is there any NBA action that you like tonight that you took a look at? Because he was also saying, not only go to Danny B Wins, but he said to go to TDWins.com also. Is that the same company?
Yeah, same company, DannyBWins.com, TDWins.com. I actually, it's a little early now. They don't put the referee list out till about, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock, and that's what I do. I check out those referees that are on the game, and, you know, I make my decisions based on that. I have a nice lengthy conversation with Danny B, and you know, we pick the games and pick the winners, and we go from there.
Listen, man, I want everybody here to get your book. You know, read it. I want you to come back on in a few months and let me know how you're adjusting to this new life and how you're doing with your winners. But most importantly, your fucking life. You sound great. Like I said, bro, in this life, if you don't make a fucking mistake, you're slipping. Because that's what this life is about, to make mistakes and to grow, you know. So Hey, man, you got a home here. Anytime you want to call and give us a pick or just say hello, Tim. You sound like
I'll tell you what, if whoever calls the office today or goes in and looks at tdwins.com and gets the 800 number and calls the office today, we will give them a free pick if they mention your show.
Okay, what's the 800 number? Do you know it off the top of you?
Yes, I sure do. It's 800-308-9003.
308-9003. Mr. D, I fucking love you. Congratulations on your book. Congratulations on your life, man. You fucked up, but you're coming back like stronger than debt. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, pal. And anyone that's out there betting money on the ball games, give us a call tonight. We'll hook you up with a free winner, and then we'll do some business.
Let's do it, man. Have a great week, Tim. Congratulations on the book and your new life, brother.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, my man. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
What the fuck did you think of that? You know, I wanted to ask him more questions, but I was just embarrassed. I'll wait till the next time he calls.
We'll get him next time. But that... I always knew that they're giving preferential treatment, especially to fucking LeBron, because he never gets a foul called on him. He never fouls out. And I wanted to ask him when he said he picks games based on the ref list that comes out. Whenever the Celtics are in the playoffs, there's this fucking 1,000-year-old ref who looked like he could barely move, but he fucking calls everything on us. And I wanted to ask him about it, but we'll get him next time. But
I guarantee it. There's refs that have They have fucking problems with different players, or they don't, or listen, if LeBron James is driving, you gotta assume this. Every time he drives, he's gonna get fouled.
Oh, absolutely.
What's he gonna do? Foul out fucking both teams? So sometimes they call him on him, and sometimes they see the extent of the foul, what's going on during the shot, if it's a forced foul. I mean, I'm the same way. There's a lot of shit I wouldn't fucking call because it just happens. You're going for the ball.
Yeah.
You're both going for the fucking ball. I know a lot of times I got called on shit and I looked around. But I got to tell you something. This is on the serious side. I fucked around with drugs for a long time. I did a lot of crazy shit, guns and all that. Gambling scared the shit out of me, Lee.
That's one thing I wanted to ask him. If he did with the Gambino family, I don't know how that's over, but...
Well, it is what happened. You have these people, the Gambinos, listen, all the mafia doesn't have the power they used to have, but they still control, minimal bookmaking operations. After a while, if I controlled an operation, first of all, I wouldn't put my action in with the same people. I'd spread it around. I'd have 3 or 4 different bookmakers so nobody would catch on.
Okay.
That's what you do so nobody catches on. I did the same when I was doing blow. I would have 3 or 4 dealers so nobody knew the exact amount I was buying. I would never want nobody to know exactly what I was buying. If you don't see me but every other night, you're thinking I don't come to you but every other night, but I'm going to El Compadre the other week. And the other nights I'm going to the black guy, and the other night I'm going to John Blaze, my other dealer that ran a bar, and he wasn't the original John Blaze. I'm the original John Blaze, but that's what you do. You spread it out.
Okay.
You never want somebody to really know what you're doing. I started gambling. I grew up in a numbers house, and numbers to me was very innocent. The bolita is a Spanish bookmaking thing that started in Cuba, and it went to Tampa, and then from Tampa went up to New York. And the bolita, they take the last 3 numbers of the mutual of the track. So whatever the track makes for the day, you look at the last 3 numbers, and that's the number for the day. If you're in New York, they go by the aqueduct number, Belmont. Or there's another track they go to down by the shore. Danny talked about it the other day, Monmouth. So it's the last 3 numbers of the total mutual, what that track makes for the fucking day. And that's what my family was into. But that crosses hands in hands with sports betting. And I'm going to tell you guys the truth. It was gambling affects men, but when it really affects you is when it gets a hold on a woman. When gambling gets a hold on a woman, it fucks them up. There's 60-minute things about women gambling. In Connecticut, they have a lot of problems now with the casinos. Women are getting addicted.
I never heard that. That's crazy.
Fuck yeah. Women are getting addicted to these fucking little video games.
Okay.
And because now they have these video games that are like regular video games that you're gambling, and they affect the mind so much during gambling. It's not just calling the game and watching the game. These people go to that casino in Connecticut. What's the name of it? Mohegan Sun. And these housewives are getting addicted. Those are the scariest things. And I saw what it did to my mother. Gambling destroyed my mother when she lost the bar. The last 2 years of my mother's life was dedicated to the fucking Yankees and the Mets. and the Boston Red Sox. And she lost every dime she had. She had 30 Jesus. Years of savings, you know, lost. I mean, when my mother died, she died because she was broke. She's like a Cuban Jew. She knew that she was done. She already refied the house. She fucking forged the signature of my father. She had done it all. She had $250,000 in pawned jewelry. That means she had $700,000 worth of gold, diamond jewelry. That's what my mother's gambling addiction did to her.
That's terrible.
So when I started gambling, I always kept that in mind. And it fucking deterred me for life. Once I got into that hole in 83, man, you know what? Like, I fuck with you guys now from time to time. I'll bet 50. I'll put a bet in with the guy from the MMA place for a fight. But besides that, I can't do it every night. And I'll tell you what'll kill you. Basketball. Because it's every night. It's like baseball.
Okay,
see, football
yeah.
don't fuck with you. In the old days, football didn't fuck with you. Because football was Saturday and Sunday and Monday Night Football. They caught on, the fucking people. So now they have Thursday night special edition, Thursday night college.
You think that's why they did it?
No, they did it because they just want to sell programming. Yeah, they did it because they got a fucking... It's like they said, football is the only sport that has an injury report. What is that injury report there? For the fucking gamblers, brother. Vegas stays open from August 15th to February 3rd. Not because, you know, Dizzy Gillespie's playing the trombone or fucking... or some black guy's cracking dirty jokes in the casino. That's not what's keeping the casino open. It's the fucking gambling. You go and get all those free dinners and all that shit, not because they're generous, but because they hope that you'll bring your credit cards with you and bet your grandmother on the fucking game. That's what they're hoping for.
Yeah.
So that's what it's all built on. From let's be face it. Let's be honest here. It's, Vegas is not for anything else, but, oh my God, the entertainment, the restaurants. That's all the finger in the ass. That's the dressing. The main thing about Vegas is getting the money out of your fucking pocket. Once you drop an 80 for a stake, you don't give a fuck if you drop a 100 at the crap stable.
Yeah.
That's how they make their fucking money, you know? So once I got caught up in it, bro, it scared me, Lee. Lee, I didn't like it at all. I didn't like losing. I did not like fucking losing. So that's it. If you gamble, please get it together. Also, we're going to vote Lee Syatt and my man Neil Samuels into the Jewish Hall of Fame. I'm trying to get the paperwork now how to push you guys up, because if there's any Jew that belongs in the Hall of Fame, it's you and Neil Samuels. I was thinking about Jewish people yesterday. And I'll tell you why. I love the Jews who shed comedy on their life and their culture. You know, my acupuncturist is Jewish. Mm-hmm. And whenever she adds up my total, she always goes, "Can you believe this, Joey? I'm a Jew that can't add." And I love when she says that because it makes me feel like I'm not crazy. You know, it's those Jews that are really uptight about their religion and shit, you know, mm-hmm. in the back of their minds that drive me fucking crazy. They act like fucking wasps, and they're not. They're fucking Jews. Act like one, God damn it. What's up, Lee Syatt? You bad motherfucker. We're almost out of here, Lee. I know you're tired. Lee,
I feel good.
Lee, you got to get energy. No, you can't take a new mood because then you'll be a little groggy. It's got the tryptophan in it. You'll feel like that.
I take them before I go to bed. No, I feel good. Like people on Twitter have been asking me, and I've been trying. On the weekends, I have a little bit, but I've been doing the no soda thing. And just because I leave the house every night at 5:30. I don't get home now until like 7:30, 8 o'clock. So it's just a long day.
Lee's a fucking tough motherfucker. Don't ever get confused. And what's going on with Gus, a.k.a. Gaspari here, my little Sicilian brother? I love you, cocksucker. What are you busting my balls for? Let it go. Lee, I wanted to talk to these people about music today because there's an album that's really always fucked me up. November 8th of 79, my mom died. No biggie. People know, whatever. We've been covering it for years. And I moved in with the Benders in December 79. And right about that time when The Wall came out, the album came out in December, and then the concert was going to be February 26th, 1980. Another band of mine that I loved fucking Black Sabbath. At this time, I was really getting into Black Sabbath. And last week, we covered Master Reality. And I cover albums, guys, that I can feel in my fucking bones when I talk about music, because I don't want to just give you an album like, I like Rush 2112. I don't like Rush as a band, but the album, I like it. But did it change my life? Nah, but it's a good fucking album, Rush 2112. So, one album that I'll never forget. So, I think John Lennon got shot December of 80, right? Or December of 81.
Didn't he get shot on like a Monday Night Football game?
Yeah, he got shot on Monday Night Football. But I can't remember when he got shot.
I'll look it up.
Because this is very important that, you know, I throw this in here with you.
Because he was shot December 8th of 80. Of 80.
80. That's what I figured. So what happened was, you know, Sabbath had put out Never Say Die. I went to see them October of 78. They sucked. Then they broke up in 79, and nobody knew what was going on with Sabbath. So, yeah, I was still listening to Pink Floyd, and I was listening to... I'm a big heavy metal guy. I'm a big UFO guy, the Scorpions, fucking Rainbow. You know, I'm in that genre. Iron Maiden with Tony Deano, the first album. I'm a big Judas Priest fan, but I know you motherfuckers all hate Judas Priest. He's gay, Joey. I don't give a fuck if he's gay. If he sucks a dick, he can sing loud. You know, that's what makes you... Sucking dick makes you sing loud. Why do you think all those women sing fucking loud? Because they suck dick, it creates the suction in their throat, and then they let it out. Oh. So,
biology lesson.
Who the fuck you think you're dealing with? It's not ha-has and hee-hees. So, this time I go over to John Lennon gets shot on a Monday Night Football, and that's Tuesday. I robbed the bank. Not robbed the bank like pseudo-ly, but I had these checks, and my buddy worked at a bank, and he said that he could cash the checks for me.
Yeah.
I got like 20, I'm fucking 17, 16 years old. And he tells me to meet him up at Nick's Pizza. And he hands me a fucking one of those back envelopes.
Yeah.
And it was fucking filled to the brim with fucking bills, bro. And I just looked at it and I had tears in my eyes. And at that time, my mother had a friend, Zoraida, from New York, that was a coke dealer in Spanish Harlem. And after my mother died, Zoraida would meet me like every other Sunday and throw me a couple hundred. And I'd tell her, listen, I can sell some coke. Give me some coke. And she'd give me like an eight ball to sell, and I'd snort the whole fucking thing with Mike Denny, the devil. It was shitty coke. It was New York City coke in those days. It was basically for shooting. But I had this money. You know, I had this fucking 20 large, and I hid some of it. And that's the week John Lennon got shot. So that weekend, they were doing a fucking thing in Central Park. They were going to call it Strawberry Fields, and the Village was going to be packed. So I said, fuck it. I'm going to go into the city. I got a fucking gram of blow. In those days, you had a little bottle with a spoon at the top, and you screwed in the fucking cap. And I had this little gram of blow, and I went to the city. I was doing little bumps. Here I am, fucking 16. No wonder my mind is fucking shot. And I'm in the city, and I went to I went in a record shop called Bleaker Bob's. If anybody remembers that thing, after I talk about it, fucking email me at joeycocodiaz.net. Bleaker Bob's, right? And I went in there, and there was this EP. An EP was an album that they did four songs. They don't do them no more. They were doing these in the 80s. Rat had one. Spring Session M, what's their name? Missing Persons had an EP with Mental Hopscotch on it. Rat had an EP before Out on the Street. That's where we'll meet. They had an EP. EP with four song albums in the 80s.
Okay.
So they give you two fucking great songs. And I'm going through this thing, and I see the Blizzard of Oz with Ozzy Osbourne. And I rip it out of the thing, and it's this guitar player with blonde hair. It's this fucking bass player with hair, and it's this drummer that looks like he's 190. And I brought it home, and it had Mr. Crowley, Suicide Solution, and two other songs on it. I could tell you it was Revelation or whatever, but I can't tell you for sure. So I know these people hit back. Joey, it wasn't that song that was on there, but I know it was definitely Suicide Solution. And I brought that album home, and that album had a guitar player called Randy Rhoads on it. That is, it is just a brilliant fucking album. And it's got some, I mean, one of my favorites is, I don't know, Suicide Solution, Crazy Train, fucking Revelation, Mother Earth, Mother Please Forgive Them, They Know Not What to Do, Steal Away the Night. This album has so many fucking great songs. And for me, every time I listen to it, it gives me goosebumps because I was going through so much at the time when this album came out. This album finally saved me. And then I had gone to see Ozzy with that one album that they talk about, the 30-year anniversary of the Blizzard of Oz. Jim Norton had it on the show and a bunch of people. I went to that fucking show at the Palladium.
Oh, shit.
Me, Didi Quintero, Steve Avila. I'd get Steve to call tomorrow. We could talk about that. We went to see Randy Rhoads, Rudy Zarzo. Rudy Zarzo was Cuban from Quiet Riot. They all left together and shit. I tell you, man, it was fucking amazing. watching that was amazing. Hit it, Lee. Hit me with a little fucking, I don't know, just to let these motherfuckers know the riff of Randy Rhoads. Wait, what's going on here? I'm
it's hearing here.
Fucking bongs and shit. Hit it, Lee.
It's playing.
What? Hit it! Gotta change cartridges. Oh shit, Lee. Is the end near? When is the final day? 26 fucking days. Stick around, cocksuckers. The Mayans are coming. They're gonna butt fuck you to death with those apocalypto dicks. Hit it! Hit me with another song. Hit me with a little Mr. Crowley. Now, I had grown up with a kid named John Crowley. He was fucking crazy, funny as shit. And, you know, Mr. Crowley's about a guy named Aleister Crowley. He was this 24-carat warlock that Jimmy Page lived in his house, and he fucking killed people and shit. So when we heard this song, I mean, I'm not a devil worshiper, but I knew all about that shit. I knew you have to sell your soul at the fucking crossroads. You know, and this is about fucking, what's his name? Aleister Crowley, the 24-carat warlock. I think he's Duncan's uncle or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? This is a great little fucking jam. Where's my goddamn cartridges, bitch? Lee, have you been taking my cartridges?
Yeah.
You've been selling them on the black market to Puerto Ricans. What a fucker. Here we go. Here, here's a good cartridge right here. Lee, listen to this. This is a good fucker. You ever hear this before?
No, not this one.
Lee, why not?
I was born in 88. I'm catching up.
I'm going to make you one of these THC pills and put the speakers on. Hit it, Lee. Oh shit. Hit it. Put it. Bam. 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 Oh, Mr. Crowley. Did you talk to the dead? Oh shit. It's Wednesday, motherfuckers. You got two more days, but today's the day you've been waiting for all your fucking life. Go out there. Sling some dick. Wash your ball. Hit it. People with magic. Oh shit, now you're waiting down that fart in your face. Hit it, Lee, Mr. Charming. It's been a great week with you guys. I love you, motherfuckers. Don't forget, go to onnit.com. Get your vitamins, get your strong bones, get your fucking hemp force, get your new mood, and get your life going. Get it together. Go for a walk today. Go mail something. You know, go do fucking something. Today's the day, man. If not, God would have put you in fucking Africa right now in a tent getting chased by white people for diamonds and shit like that. You're here. Do something, right, Lee?
Absolutely.
Act like a fucking Jew today. Go out there and make them pay for you being fucking alive. You think there's a Jew walking around today saying, I'm going to stay home, I got $10 million in the bank? Fuck no. Hey, Lee, what are you looking at, cocksucker? He's going down.
I'm getting another song.
What song are you getting for your Uncle Joe? What are you going to close up with, Lee?
The only one I know off of is Crazy Train.
All right, you want to play Crazy Train, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I want to give some shout-outs here. You know, as usual, I love you motherfuckers. Gasparis and the fucking Leroy Neckbones and the fucking... I love you guys. Let me see if we forgot. Don't forget, I want to thank Tim Donahue. I want to thank... What's going on with Facebook and this copyright? Don't forget, we got to talk about this shit next week, because a lot of people don't know. I don't even know.
This comes out every few months. Like, they're going to sell your information, and they're putting... Everyone's putting these little status updates, like, you can't use my stuff. They're not going to look at that. I don't know what... I'll have to look into it.
You're infamous. Listen, they're watching you on this fucking computer this morning. They're watching you up this fucking computer this morning. So they know exactly all your moves and your mental moves. They got a finger up your ass and your pulse, people. You're on Facebook. You're putting all your sayings down there. They know what I'm about. They know I'm about dick and drugs and stabbing people in the fucking eyeball. Here's for you. Ooh! A little morning fart. Some people have morning coffee. That's a little morning fart. You know what I'm saying? But!
Perfect time to end.
You're going to sit here and sweat it out like a soldier, Lee. Inhale that fucking fart till you're purple in the eyeballs. Anyway, I love you guys. December 13th, I'm in fucking San Diego at the Madhouse Comedy Club. The link is up on Twitter. December 21st, I'm with my main man, Joe Rogan, Doug Stanhope, and Honey Honey at the End of the Fucking World show, which it's ending that night. Somebody's getting stabbed. We're going to do something with a fart in Lee's face. What else? I love you guys from the bottom of my heart, man. I'm happy that you guys support this and help me. Subscribe to the motherfucking podcast. Write a note. We got to get up there. You guys got to help me here. We're fucking family. You know what I'm saying? I'm with you, you're with me, and they're with us. Hit it, Lee, a little music. Some love for Lee, we love him. We'll see you guys Monday, December 3rd. We're going to talk about Chango. I'm going to play some fucking Chango music, some Cuban Chango fucking music to get you. Chango is a warrior that comes with a horse and a fucking axe, and he had a leopard that showed up with him, and the leopard shows up first to throw his stink and his power, and he just chases people off, and then Chango comes with his fucking axe and chops your fucking head off. That's how you're supposed to throw down. That's a patron saint right there, not some guy walking around with birds helping people. Fuck you. Hit it, Lee. Hit me with some little music here. Oh shit. Well, that pill is kicking in, you motherfuckers. I got one left. Meet me somewhere. Twit me. Meet me somewhere in fucking Studio City. I'll give you this last 100 milligram. Well, I'm going to give it to Lee. I'm going to give Lee's going to eat this stuff. I love you guys. Have a great day. Be safe. Use your fucking eyeballs. Look around. Don't let nobody fuck with you. Tell them all to suck your dick. It's Wednesday. Tell them fucking Uncle Joey sent you. I love you motherfuckers. Lee, give him a kiss. All right. Stay black, people. What? On it, put church in the fucking box so we get credit. I don't want no misunderstandings.